so much.
Amen.
We praise the Lord for the opportunity to be back here with you all this evening. And my name is Jason Holt. I'm here with my family, my wife Lori, and our three children, Katie, she's 8, and Joshua is 6, and Andrew is 4. And I'm glad I'm traveling with them here this week. And Katie was 4 weeks old when we left for language school back 8 years ago. And Joshua and Andrew were born there in the country of Chile. And so I think when we were here presenting the ministry back when we were on deputation, Lori might have been expecting our first one, but I don't believe so. And so it's good to be back here with the family this time. And tomorrow I'll be giving a little bit more of an update about the ministry, but we really appreciate this church and everything that's been done in Chile during these last years. Has been because churches like this church has stood with us and prayed for us and invested in our ministry, and we are so very thankful, and it's so good to be back here with you all this evening. If you turn in the Word of God with me, please, this evening, to the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter number 1. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 1. I want to read the first few verses of the first chapter here of this book. And it's so encouraging as we read through the book of Acts and we see how the different churches were started and planted, and sometimes the apostles went in and saw great fruit in a short period of time, and sometimes they were run out of town, and different things that happened. And we find that many of these churches that were planted later, the Holy Spirit inspired Paul and others to write letters to those churches, giving them instructions as they continued to grow. But the interesting thing is that most of these churches, or all these churches, were first generation Christian churches. They weren't churches where necessarily their mother or their father and their grandparents and great grandparents were followers of Jesus, but that in that generation they had taken the decision to accept Jesus as their personal Savior. And it's so much like the churches on the mission field. We've been able, by God's grace, to start 3 churches there in the city of Santiago, the capital of Chile. And those churches are comprised principally, almost entirely, of first-generation Christians, people that have accepted the Lord as their personal Savior during these last few years. And as you read here in the book of 1 Thessalonians, the Bible says in verse number 7 that this church was an exemplary church for the other churches in the area. But I want to see, how can we find from the first 5 verses some principles that will help us to understand what a good, solid, strong church should be like, whether on the field or whether here in the United States of America. Let's start reading in verse number 1. The Bible says, Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus unto the church of the Thessalonians, which is in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, in the sight of God and our Father. Knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God, for our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance, as ye know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. Let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for this evening, and we thank you for how you've already spoken to our hearts. And we thank you for the privilege to be a part of what you're doing around the world. And I pray that you would bless this church, and I pray that they would continue to serve you faithfully and continue to have an outreach around the world that's impacting so many lives. I pray that you would use this service in particularly to speak to our hearts. And may we leave here challenged and changed by your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. There's 3 things that I see here in this passage that talks about this church and how it was started and some of the basis of this church. And it encourages me as a young church planter working in South America about the importance to give the biblical pattern for our church planting efforts and to follow the biblical pattern for what we do in God's work. Here in the Bible, in this first verse of 1 Thessalonians 1, it says, Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus. Here, Paul, Silas, and Timothy, three men that were being used by God to no doubt have a vital role in the start of this church, and here following up with instructions about the church and about the Lord's coming and other things in this great book. But we see that the first element involved in a strong local church is biblical leadership. Biblical leadership. Paul and these other two men were used by God to start the church and to preach the gospel and to be involved in church planting throughout the first century. And we know that God continues today to use us, to use men and women to be involved in His work and called men to preach God's word and to start churches around the world. There's no doubt about it in the New Testament that the mode that the Lord has chosen to advance His work around the world is through the local church. And as we're serving there in Chile, that's one of our goals, is to plant strong local churches that can continue to reach their communities and continue to send out other men to reach other communities throughout the country and around the world. Look at this biblical leadership with me for a moment. Look what the Bible says in verse number 2. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers. Who's the we here of this verse? The we is the three men that are having a part in writing this letter under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And they say, we give thanks to God always for you all. This biblical leadership, they gave thanks. They prayed for their people. They prayed for the local church. And we ought to today, as God gives us the opportunity to be involved in biblical leadership, whether it's in a classroom or whether it's on a bus ministry or whether it's preaching or teaching to teenagers or children or wherever it might be where God's allowing you to serve, we should be people of prayer, amen? Asking the Lord to give wisdom and strength to the new believers and the families and to marriages inside of our congregation and new people that are coming to know the Lord. These biblical leaders give us such an example about what we should do praying for others and the importance of prayer involved in God's work. Look what the Bible says in verse number 5. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power. Here the apostle says our gospel, our message, our good news didn't just come in word only. It wasn't just a verbal communication. It wasn't just a lecture. It wasn't like a teacher that might stand up in high school and talk about science or history or some other subject. But he said that our good news, our gospel came not in word only, but also in power. And that's so important when we talk about God's work around the world. It's the power of God. It's the power of His Word. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. And this word power is the same idea where we get our word in English, dynamite. It's a powerful message that can change lives and break up the hardened hearts and do the impossible and the unthinkable. In Chile today, there are 8 men that are training full-time for the ministry, and 3 of those men are leading the churches that we started during our first term there in Chile. And many of those men have backgrounds that were quite sinful, and they've been radically changed by the gospel. Just last night, one of our youngest men there at the Bible College, a 19-year-old young man named Yerko, preached his first message in a service, a full message. He's the Sunday school or the children's church pastor and preaches every Sunday to the kids, but just last night preached his first full message, and he came to church for the first time about 2.5 years ago. Completely lost in sin, completely lost in the different vices and things that attack so many young people there with drugs and alcohol and all the different things that are involved with many people that do not know the Lord there in Santiago in the big city. That's so prevalent. And he came after a girl that was already going to our church and somebody from his church from his school that had invited him to come to the church. So he was more interested in her than he was about God. But he heard the gospel gospel preached, and shortly thereafter, this young man that didn't really care anything about God or the Bible or the church was completely changed by the gospel. And today he's given his life completely to the Lord and is serving the Lord and looking forward to what God might have for him later on down the road. The man that's pastoring our second church today was an agnostic liquor salesman when I first met him, and today he's preaching the gospel every week to people. It's exciting to see what God can do through his word as people that are obedient to him preach God's word, because that power in God's word is what can change lives for eternity. Look what the Bible says here in verse number 5. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost. This message came not just in power, but also in the Holy Ghost. These two things are so closely related, as the Holy Spirit uses his word to penetrate the hearts of men, and he illuminates our minds, or if you will, the light bulb goes off as he shows us the truths from his word, as he convicts the hearts of sinners about their need to have forgiveness, their need to know Jesus as their personal Savior. Paul said, remember, church, that when we first started out with you, remember some of the things that went on. Our message came with power and with the Holy Ghost. And this church that was an exemplary church, no doubt, was being encouraged to continue in the example that they had seen firsthand from these great men of God. Look what the Bible says in verse 5, for our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance. This message was with power, and this message was in the Holy Ghost and came with much assurance. Paul was so crystal clear about what he believed, and he preached with such confidence and such clarity, and the people therefore heard and left the service so convinced of the truth of God's word. You know, it's kind of contagious. I'm sure many of you many times have heard your pastor preach, and he's just so excited about it. Just even this evening, hearing how God's working in his heart about missions and about the opportunity to reach more souls around the world. And it's contagious, isn't it? And as we hear those messages being expressed with so much assurance, and that's the way this biblical leadership led this church of first generation Christians to make such a difference that they became an example to many of the other churches there in the first century. Not only do we need biblical leadership, there on the field, we knew from day one, we prayed that God would give us biblical leaders, men and women that would give their lives to serve him. When we first started out, I remember that those first few weeks, my wife was just learning to play the piano. She played 5 songs on the first Sunday that we had our services, and her goal was to learn 1 new song a week as we introduced 1 new song every week to the congregation, and I would show up there to the church and give the introduction and lead the music and do the offering and give the announcements and preach the message, the invitation, give the final words and be at the door shaking hands and closing up. You know, you do everything at the beginning because there's no one else, much less having Sunday school teachers and having men that are preparing for the ministry and other soul winners and all the other things involved in a local church. We begin to pray, God, give us biblical leaders. Give us men and women that would give their lives to serve you. And here we see the importance of that. But not only do we see in a strong local church this biblical leadership, but we see, number 2, a committed congregation. Look what the Bible says in verse number 3. Remembering, and of course here we have Paul, Silvanus, and Timotheus writing here. In verse 2, they gave thanks to God. And in verse number 3, they're remembering some things. Remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope. You know, when this apostle wrote about this church, he didn't say, when I think about you, I remember maybe something that was beautiful about the city, or I remember some of the good times that we had. And I was thinking tonight about the pastor, just a little extra here in the message. I told him before the service, if he doesn't tell any stories about me from back in college, I won't tell any stories about him. at least until the last day. If you want to see me tomorrow night, I might give you a few insights, a few good stories. But he didn't say, you know, when I remember you, I remember a lot of other. He said, when I remember this church, he said, I remember the work of faith that the church had. And on the mission field, it's so important to have godly leaders, men that are called to preach, that are prepared to start churches. But it's so important to have a committed congregation, because a room full of Sunday school teachers and preachers is a good leaders meeting or a good pastors meeting, but it's not a good church. You've got to have that committed congregation as well. And this local church here was known for their work of faith. That phrase is so interesting because it kind of covers two areas. The first area, the work side of things. And the second area is the faith side. The work side kind of emphasizes the human side. It emphasizes the time that must be invested and the effort that must be put forth and the difficulty sometimes that will be required physically or emotionally or spiritually to put forth that extra effort. It kind of gives us the idea of a little sweating and a little bit of labor involved there in that work. But it says here, this committed congregation, they did a work of faith. And the faith is putting our eyes in Jesus. Faith is trusting Him for everything. We plant, we water, but who gives the increase? God gives the increase, amen? And this church was known as a church that worked, but they worked by faith, trusting God, doing everything humanly possible to complete God's will and the Great Commission, but doing it all, trusting in God, because only He can do the work to change lives. Here, this church was known for their work of faith, but also they were known, look in verse number 3, the second thing. It says, let's read the whole first part, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love. You know, that word labor sounds an awful lot like another word we just saw, doesn't it? Labor sounds an awful lot like work. You know, whenever we talk about God's work or the work of missions, it should be well understood that there's a lot of work involved in getting things off the ground and winning people to the Lord and organizing and administrating and starting churches and all the different things that are involved in that. There's a lot of work, but when we work and when we labor, we do it by faith and we do it, look what the Bible says, it's a labor of love. We love God and we love others, and the love of Christ is what constrains us, is what motivates us, and what pushes us on to keep going forward, to keep doing what He's called us to do. We work by faith, labor by love. This committed congregation was actively involved in that. Look what the Bible says, the third thing about this committed congregation, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. Patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. This church had a hope that was in Jesus, and their hope was a patient hope. The idea here is they're working by faith and they're laboring in love and they're waiting patiently on Jesus and their hope's in Jesus. And the whole book of 1 Thessalonians has an emphasis on the second coming of Jesus. And no doubt this church, as they were serving Him, they were knowing any day now Jesus is coming back to get us, to take us with Him, so that where He is, we can be also. Amen? And as we work together as the committed congregation by faith through love, we should put our eyes on Him, knowing that sooner or later, and hopefully sooner than later, He's coming back to get us. It might be tonight, it might be in a week, it might be in a year. We don't know when, but we know that we're just here for a time, and then we'll be with the Lord. And that is a great hope whenever we're going through some of those difficult times of work and labor. When it's not easy, we know that Jesus is coming back and we're just here for a time. We're pilgrims in a strange land and we're not at our final destination yet. Not only do we see here of this local church that there was a biblical leadership and pastors and apostles that were led by God to start this thing and to give continual leadership, but also there was the committed congregation. And the third thing we see is there was a focus on Christ. A focus on Christ. Let's read through the five verses and we'll be finished. And I want you to notice with me the emphasis that's given to God the Father, God the Son, or God the Holy Spirit. Look what the Bible says. Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus unto the church of the Thessalonians, which is in, what's it say? Come on now, help me out. Which is in God the Father. Here we go. He says, I'm writing you, church, but understand, church, you're in not Paul's hands. You're not in Timothy or Silas or anybody else's hands. You are in God the Father. He's the bride of the church. He's the head of the body. He's the Lord of lords. He's the kings. He's the boss. It's all about him. And it says here in this verse, the church which is in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ. Here we have Jesus and Lord talking about him being like our owner, the one that's completely in charge of it all, Christ, the Messiah. The church is in God the Father. We're his children, and it's in Jesus Christ our Lord. Look what the Bible says in the latter part of the verse. Grace be unto you and peace from who? God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. All the grace that you need, all the ability to get through those times and to continue going on, that's going to come from God, and it's going to come from Jesus. And you need to always remember that, and the peace he can give to you is so important. We give thanks to who? In verse number 2, to God always for you all. Why are we giving thanks to God? Why is the focus on God? Because it's not about the missionary. It's not about Paul and Silas and Timothy. And the hero of missions around the world, is his name is Jesus. Amen? And the emphasis here in this passage is just time after time. God, Father, Lord, Jesus Christ. Let's keep reading on. Verse number 3. Remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. In the sight of God and our Father. Knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance, as you know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. And you know, as we follow this biblical pattern of having God called biblical leadership and a committed congregation, and everyone's focusing on him and not on us, but on Jesus, great and mighty things can be accomplished in South America, in the Philippines, in the rest of Asia, in Europe and Africa, and the other parts of the world. Great things can be accomplished for him. But as we're here in this conference, remember, there are still many cities in Chile and these other countries that are represented that still don't have a church like this church, with biblical leaders that are working with a committed congregation and focusing on Christ. There's just no churches like that. And God help us always to remember that and to keep striving forward to continue the cause of Christ and to see churches planted through the ministry of this church around the world, and remember the importance and the privilege that we have to be a part of his work. Let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer as the pastor comes forward for the invitation. Father, I thank you for the opportunity to see this biblical pattern here. And I pray this evening, here in this local church ministry, there might be some of the teachers and some of the leaders that have been working and been laboring, and maybe they're quite worn out or tired. And I pray that tonight they would just receive help from you and encouragement from you to keep going forward and serving you here. And the ones that are involved in missions around the world, I pray that we would just understand the privilege that we have. Encourage our hearts in your work. I pray that your name will be glorified through it all.
Your heads are bound, your eyes are closed. Begin to play through softly. I want to take this time as the pastor of this church to say thank you to you folks who are committed to the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for being here tonight. The Lord has something great and greater for this church and for the churches around the world. Maybe you're a leader, and maybe God's speaking to you, and he was talking about biblical leadership and how they gave the word in power in the Holy Ghost with much assurance. Or maybe you're part of this great congregation. Maybe the word committed is on your heart right now, being committed to work in faith, to labor in love. Keep your eyes on the Lord. We all need, whether we're leaders or not, we all need to keep our eyes on the hope, which is the appearing of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I don't know how God's dealing with you, but I believe He's dealing. And we're going to stand quietly, please, if you wouldn't mind, all around this congregation. Brother Gary's going to begin to sing, and if God is speaking to you as a leader about having the power of God on your life, about being full of the Holy Spirit of God, or maybe just a congregation member and the Lord's speaking to you about being committed and working in faith and laboring in love, or maybe you've got something going on and you just need the Lord to help you turn your eyes upon Him, look beyond it all and realize that it's not going to end here. There's a great day coming for the child of God. I don't know how the Lord's dealing. And as the pastor, again, I stand in awe of you folks. God bless you for doing the right thing and being here tonight. I trust you'll be back tomorrow night if you possibly can. As Brother Gary sings, if God's speaking to you, leave your place.
Have thine own way.
Come on, let's talk to the Lord about it. Maybe some of you leaders need to come.
Thou art the
beg for the power of God.
I am
ask the Lord to speak to your heart.
Mold me and make me after thy will. While I am waiting, yielded and still.
They're playing through softly again. There may be somebody that just says, you know, I just want to come and ask God for His power. You know, this is not only true about planting churches and mission work. This is true about your marriage. This is true about your life. This is true about your Sunday school class, your bus route. If you're a deacon, if you're a staff member, if you're a bus captain, maybe somebody just says, I want God's power in my life. And I want the Lord to help me keep Himself as the focus of my heart and life. Brother Gary sings, there's some coming. You come on. There's time for you as he sings. Come on.
Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Hold o'er my being absolute sway. Fill with thy Spirit till all shall see Christ only always living.
Playing through soft. If you're standing, you can look this way. There's folks praying. Do we really understand that we need the Lord? You know, when we get in trouble, it's when we bypass the Lord. We live our life as if we don't need Him. It doesn't mean that you look at Him and say, I don't need you. I'm saying that many times we get so busy with things, even our own ministries, we can get so tied up in them that we neglect what the Lord told Martha, that Mary's chosen the one thing that she needs. Martha was cumbered about much serving. She was serving Jesus, my friend. And she got upset with Mary because Mary was just sitting at His feet listening to His word. You know the story. Martha basically has told the Lord, tell my sister to help me. And Jesus tenderly said, Martha, Martha, you're cumbered about much serving. But Mary had chosen the one thing that is needful. What is He saying? Was He jumping on her for serving Him? No. But He was just emphasizing priorities. That service for Him without time with Him is meaningless. We've got to spend time with the Lord. That's the way the Lord has made this whole thing. Amen. The power of God is what changes people's lives. I appreciate this emphasis, brother. God bless you. Powerful. I'm glad I'm here tonight. I don't know about you. What a service. Praise the Lord. I want to retract and go back and rewind and say, I hope you don't misunderstand what I said about the high school football game. What I said I meant, but I hope I said it in the right spirit. Amen. You know that if you ought to be, if you can be, you ought to be. Can I get an amen there, please? because I promise you the Lord will be pleased with it. And come praying tomorrow night. I feel this momentum building. Okay, I can sense it in my own heart and soul. It's like a snowball rolling downhill. And I'm expecting great things from the Lord on Sunday. And aren't you glad? I mean, I don't want to go on and on here, but aren't you glad that we're supporting faithful missionaries like this group that's with us here? Amen. God bless them. I'm going to ask Brother Gary, if you wouldn't mind, sir, maybe you and your wife to lead the missionaries over to the gymnasium. I remind you that every night, I'm talking about tonight and tomorrow night, if your children are here and they have their passports, if they do not have a passport and you have a child here, the passports are available over in the gym. We have some snacks for you tonight. Tonight we are featuring a tropical fruit salad and all these kind of things. The countries featured, as far as for your children to go get their stamps, we are featuring the country of the Philippines. Brother and Mrs. Abilene will have that stamped. So the child just has to go by their table and he'll stamp it for them. And the country of Brazil, and we have Brother Paul Pritchard who has that stamp tonight. Please, all of you stay with us. Even if you can't stay long, please go by. All the displays are over there. Grab you a little cup of fruit salad. Say hello to the missionaries and be on your way, okay? But please just don't leave and go. Get in your car. Just walk over there. Say God bless you and all these kind of praying for you if you are. Grab you some fruit salad and be on your way. I remind you that the children who have their banks, how many children are here like that? You have your banks ready. You're going to be bringing your banks tomorrow night, okay? Bring them tomorrow night. Please don't forget it. This will be a precious, precious time, all right? We're going to be bombarding these missionaries tomorrow night. We're going to be bombarding them tonight, too. They have no idea about this tonight. We're giving them some shopping money to go shopping on and all these kind of things and sending them out to buy some things for themselves. Wouldn't that be great? So praise the Lord for it. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Father, bless us. Thank you for this precious service. Help us to be back tomorrow night right in our place. May thy will be done in Jesus' name. Amen. Love you, folks. God bless you. Hope to see you tomorrow night if possible.